Pirush. So we last time we explained a little bit about different levels, different stages. So when we talk about as you get closer to the endless, there is no efchen madrigot shel katan gadol. There is no katan no gadol. There is no small. There is no big. There is no tall. There is no short. There is no right. No left. There is no bitter. There is no sweet. It's all one. Now the brain has difficult time to grasp it because how can that story be that everything is one? Because we're living in the universe, everything is separation. Let's say if I have this item, this, the book, the tea, that's how we observe the universe. And everything around me has to be different than the other. That's why you can see it. If it's all going to be one, you can't see it. Do you understand? So the five senses were connecting to separation. The five senses are helping us to separate things so we can relate to this universe. But if you think about this universe, the reason we call it illusion, because truly everything is one. But we can't connect to everything is one. We can't. We can't. Oh, we're supposed to go. We can't connect to everything is one. Oh.
Sorry, we lost.
Of course, of course. Welcome, welcome. We get some chair. Oh, welcome back. Oh. So when we think about that everything is one, is it difficult for the brain to grasp such a concept? Because though this concept, this, no problem, no problem. This concept is a very tough concept on the mind of a human being because we cannot grasp the concept of everything is one. So we live in a universe of separation. We can't do anything about it. That's the way it operates. Within the separation, within that universe that everything is separate, is the sound okay?
The sound for the recording is okay. The live streaming is not okay.
What?
The sound is okay for the recording. It's okay. Keep on going. We'll record it and send it.
What's wrong?
No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So when we talk about something that's closer to the endless, we're talking about it become one. As it's going away from the endless, it become many's. So really, there is no difference between your phone, your tea, your book, your hand, you. There's no difference. No, it's all one. But as we're going away from the original, it's become many's. You understand? So how do you know when you're climbing spiritually up, when you see everybody as one? Yeah? Okay, you gotta get that consciousness happening. That by itself is difficult on the brain to be able to see that it's all one. Ve'en la'akshot, מאחר שכבר נגלה שינוי יצרו שישנו בנקודה האמצעית, על ידי הסתלקות האור ממנה, כך בכך שוקרו משם גם המידות הקטנות. So the idea is like that. How would that happen? That in the beginning everything is one, and when we bring everything down here, it's all separation. What happened? What happened? So the only creation that took a place is creation of desire. Why is that the only creation? Why? Why is that the only creation? Because think about it. There is the endless. The creator want to give. Just want to give. The creator want to give and give. Need to create something that will receive. So the only creation was actually receiving. It was no new creation. Different level of receiving is different levels of creation. If we study that there is different level of desire, when do you find out that those desires look different? When is what is that? When it's empty. Why? Because when it's fulfilled, you can see the difference between them. Okay? So I studied it last week and I explained to somebody that if you look, you take four cup, but the cup made from water as well, meaning the same ingredient for water. So let's say ice, okay? Try to imagine that we were able to manage to create a cup, but what built the cup is basically ice. Try to imagine that, just for the story. Every cup is different size. We throw those cups into the ocean. We don't see them anymore. What happened, let's say the ice never melt. What happened if I empty the entire ocean? What happened? Now I see four different cup. When did I recognize that there is four different cup? Only when it's empty. You follow me? Yes? What is the lesson here? There's a great lesson I always say. When people are fulfilled, there is always unity. When people are fulfilled, it will always be unity. When people are running on empty, now you can see the difference between them. So if you find a formula to basically bring people to their fulfillment, it doesn't matter the level of their desire. One person can have, I want that amount of money or that amount of pride. The other person, I'm just good with that. And both of them can be happy once they fulfill. Different levels, but when both of them are empty, they're both unhappy in the same level. Doesn't matter the size of the cup. Doesn't matter the size of the desire. For that reason, you know, all the thing with the coronavirus, what people worry, psychiatrists not worry about the corona, psychiatrists worry about people start killing each other, you know, for survive. And it's, unfortunately, it happened in a few places already. People fight over food, people fight over this, people are angry. There is a certain side to a human brain, a certain side to a human behavior, where when we are empty, we become nasty. We're not nice. We're not nice. We are empty. So in the name of fulfilling my cup, everything is allowed. So what we learn here? After the tzimtzum, after the contraction, after the light was kind of, I don't want to say empty, but after the four vessels couldn't have light, now you can see there is a difference between a receiver to a giver. When a giver fulfills the receiver with everything that the giver has, you don't see the difference between giver and receiver. Okay? You don't. You give 100%. So once I take the tea away from the cup, now you can see the difference between the tea and the cup. Now it's a tea cup, and it's a fulfilled tea cup. Once I empty it, now you see a cup. And this cup is kind of empty. But when it's fulfilled, you are busy with the tea. You're no longer busy with the cup. It's become just a vehicle. So it say, what exactly happening? Try to imagine now, use your imagination, that the middle point is the strongest desire. The middle point, the strongest desire. As you're going away from the middle, is less and less desire. Now, don't try to imagine picture if you try. So if I take the cup, the bottom of the cup is the strongest desire. The wall here helping the cup to become a cup. But if we have to manage explanation about four phases or four level of desire, you got to look at the strongest desire, what we call the fourth phase, or nekuda emtzait, middle point, or you can call it in Kabbalistic language, malchut. So that is the strongest desire. So when we say that Tzimtzum took a place, Tzimtzum in contraction, meaning when the vessel basically make a conscious decision not to receive. Which part of the vessel say, I don't want to receive? Only the bottom. Because the other part are not considered real desire. Okay? When a person want to make a change, the change that you want to make has to do difficult change. It cannot be, I'm changing things which are easy for me. It's like somebody said, listen, I'm not going to rob the bank today. Did you ever rob the bank? No. So what's the achievement? You're going to have desire, and then if you're able to control the desire, it's an achievement. That's tzimtzum, that's contraction. So it's going like this. משום שמידת הרצון לקבל שבה היא פחותה יותר מבחינת ד' כאילו מבחינה ב' וכאילו מבחינה ב' כמידת הרצון שבה פחותה יותר מבחינה ג' מבחינה ל' זקה יותר בכולם. So if we have four phases, the first phase, small desire, second phase more, third phase more, and the fourth, strongest desire. For that reason, tzimtzum can only take a place on the fourth phase. Tzimtzum cannot take a place on the first phase. Okay? Tzimtzum, the contraction. Remember what tzimtzum is. Tzimtzum is when the desire basically is no longer being activated. So where is the strongest desire? Fourth phase. What about the third phase? It's not considered a desire. It's a joke. It's not even a desire. So for somebody to say no to something that they don't want, that's not considered like an achievement, right? You need to remember that, guys. This is the core of the study. The core. That's what Kabbalah, the word Kabbalah. What is Kabbalah? To receive. Why is this knowledge called to receive? Because that's what's creating you. Everything about you is your receiving. You want to know who the person in front of you? Ask them what they want. You would know everything about them. What they want. What they want. After you asking them that, ask them second question, then you know everything about them. This is a secret. How good and how you manage to control that desire you have. Those two questions cover everything about people. That's it. What you want, how good you manage what you want. You start, you end the whole conversation, you know everything about the person. Because what you desire is your identity. Your identity, what do you want? I want to make money, I want to be proud, I want to be this, I want to be famous, I want to do that, 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 that. Good. How do you manage it? That's now your power. Well, I can control it, I can do it, I can. That's mean you're dealing with a strong desire, but it's not managing well. So you got to work with managing. Or we're dealing with strong, restrictive behavior and everything managing, but no desire. Like desire, dying desire. Okay? Can desire change? Sometimes. It takes a lot for the desire to change. We cannot change the way that we're born. But sometimes there is souls that come into your body to help you grow the desire. Those souls come on Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and holidays. So when we do the holidays and all this, you have to meditate. And I want to have an additional soul come into my body and help me to want more. Because how do you want more? How do you wake up in the morning and say, I want more? You can. We all have a certain bar we cannot pass. We all have a certain roof. You can go more than that. You can want more than 80. You know, if I tell somebody, do you want to talk about 5 billion? I don't know what 5 billion is. What is 5 billion? I don't even understand it in my brain. What is 5 billion? You tell me 71 million, maybe I can understand. Maybe. Maybe I can grasp it a little bit. What is 5 billion? I don't get the number. I don't even get it. I don't understand it. What do you do with 5 billion? So that, for that reason, I don't have the desire for that. I don't even know what to do with this. What do you do? You know? What do you do? I have a whole plan what to do with 71 million. So that means my vessel can handle that. But if somebody told you at 5 billion, it will not do good to you if you are... So not everybody born to be rich. There is people who born to be... They have the capacity, they're capable. What do you say?
Some people are born to be poor. Not everybody is born to be poor.
It's not what I meant. No. So you need to have some poor people say also. Okay. It's not what I say, but it's funny. People at home, I'm sorry, but it's funny. So the idea of what I'm trying to say, to be able to handle money and still be normal, very difficult. Very difficult. It's not for everybody. It's a test. To be rich, it's a test. It's not a reward. It's a test. Because what happened when you have 5 billion? How is your life changed? You don't even know who's your friend anymore. Who's your friend? Who's your friend? Who's your friend? You don't even know. Your whole life changed. Nothing is real. Nothing is dead. And all what you do is protecting that money until you die. You don't have life. There is no life. I always mention this gentleman is a person that God sent to my life to meet him. His name is Aywan. Aywan is a guy from Lebanon. And when I told my wife I'm inspired by him, she wanted to meet with him. I said, come with me. We meet in the middle of Westwood. There's a little, I don't remember, this coffee bean or Starbucks. There's a weird Starbucks on the street. Weird. And those of you who know my wife, she liked the facade to look okay before there is a conversation. He come with his luggage from the airport, like the shirt is half outside. And she look at me and she tell me in Hebrew, is this your inspiration going on? I said, honey, you got to give the guy a chance. Give him. And she tried, you know. And it's not working. But for me, he inspired me because of his life story. His life story, you know, the guy born is very wealthy. He's very wealthy, but he looked like a beggar. The story I love about him was not the money. I want to get to a place where They diagnosed him with cancer, pancreatic cancer. And they gave him 6 months. He born in Lebanon and built an empire in Belgium and another empire in London. Big, big money. So at that time, he wasn't spiritual. So he decided to go to Thailand. He told me the story. Going to Thailand. And every morning, he start the spiritual thing like that. He go to the ocean. He look at the sky and start cursing God. That was his thing. Cursing God left and right. One time he felt that the connection was really strong, so he cursed and screamed. And then as he screamed, he started crying. Because he knew he was dying. He had 3 months. And he came outside, and he started crying so bad that he found a few pages from a book that somebody left on the beach. In that book, he doesn't even know where it's come from. It's talking about meditation and learn to center yourself. So he started reading. It's actually talking to me. He flew back to London. He went to every teacher about spirituality he can. And he met that old psychic who told him, you're going to write 12 books about spirituality and you're going to help and motivate other people to write books. And so as he tell me that story, and he looked at me, he said to me, you at least going to write 6 books in the next few years. I said, what book? What are you talking about? Enough with the books. We're here to talk to you business. No, no. And I was telling you, okay. Remember my wife and me coming to the car, it's quiet, we are going there. And she looked at me, say, really? This is your inspiration? I said, honey, you got to be open. Sometimes God sends people in a different form. So okay. We're going there. And I start writing. I'm actually start. So that's why I'm giving a lot of credit to I1. Why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you this story because we need to understand not every person born to have everything. Because if your vessel is small and you're asking for big things, you're going to explode yourself. You don't have room for that. Or if your vessel, your desire is big, doesn't matter how much you're going to put inside, it's never enough. There is people, nothing is enough for them. Not because they're bad people. They just have a big vessel. They are giant. They born to do big things. They came to change the world. So they're always going to run on empty. It doesn't make them negative. Money doesn't mean anything to them. No pride, no sex, no food. They want to make a difference in the world. So you can clap their hand as much as you want. They look at it like, what are we doing? It's not enough. What are we doing? You know, there is people, I'm sure, scientists who work on the corona now in London. Their mission is to bring the cure to people. You're going to tell them, oh my God, you are amazing. You say, I don't have time to be amazing now. Let's solve that. So it shows you that the size of your desire is different by each person. Some people born, they have talent to make money. Some people have talent to be famous. Some people have talent to teach. Everybody have talent. Whatever that your vessel was made from, that's what you're going to draw into your life. You're going to draw exactly to your life what you are. But you need to understand, if you're born with a big vessel, it's difficult. It's difficult to be fulfilled. Very difficult. It's never enough. But people with a small vessel, it's the best. You get fulfilled right away. Get fulfilled right away. It's so easy. It's so easy. But there is good and bad in everything. The one who gets fulfilled right away, it's, we call them robot personality. They never get angry, then they get very sad. They just, like that, nothing going on. They want a big vessel. It's very difficult for them to be happy because they never fulfill. King David has a huge vessel, one of the biggest vessels ever exist, one of the biggest containers. King David was born with depression. He was sad all his life. That's why every Saturday night he made party. Every Saturday night he went against his will. Against his will. And God tell him, you're going to die on Shabbat. He told him, when are you going to die? You're going to die on Shabbat. So every Shabbat was over. He said, that's party. You know, because he knew. He knew that he has another week. So that's King David. King David, when you read about King David's life, tremendous. Because a person who started by being nobody. Nobody. He was nothing. Nothing. He was born to a family of everybody looked great and successful. And he was the only one with the red hair. And not strong like everybody else. So they send him to work with the sheep. But what is King David in Kabbalah? Malchut. What is Malchut? Bchina Dalet, fourth phase. So what is King David in the story really represent? The strongest desire. and how to manage the strongest desire. Did King David went through a struggle with sexuality? Yes. Did he go with struggling with every single thing was his issue? Because that, but he was managed to overcome all this and control himself. And that's what made King David, King David. Tremendous soul who came to this world and he wanted basically everything and he was able to manage how to control it. Manage. So it's not an achievement when you want less than what you meant to be doing. And it's not an achievement to be depressed when you're not receiving what you meant to be have. You got a balance between the two. And a balance. Now, if you want always more and more and more, it's good. Smell the roses on the way to want everything. But it doesn't mean you should get satiated more and more and more. Like I write in the book, Laughing Billionaire. You got to want, and in the same time, appreciate. You got to live in both levels in the same time. You cannot just want. That's called Pchina Dalet, the fourth phase. That's King David, Malchut. Malchut, King David represents Malchut. So everything for us about desire, King David. It's tremendous. It's just tremendous. So it's a... ועל כן שינוי צורותיי לא ניקח כמו בעיה. יש כאן נבחן מדרגות של קטן וגדול. דרך אומר הרב שהצמצום היה בהשוואה אחת בסביבות הנקודה. Question רב אשלג is raising here. If you're saying that the צמצום, the contraction, happened in one shot. You cannot say it happened in one shot if you said there is four levels of desire. You should say it's happening first on the fourth phase, then on the third phase, then on second, then on first. How come you said it was in one shot, he asked. But the roots, כי הצמצום לא עשה את הנקודה המצאית לבחינת סוף. Just because the fourth phase didn't want to receive, it didn't make it the end. כלומר, אם היה אור מסתלק מהנקודה מסיבת שינוי הצורה שיש בה, if the light will go away from the middle point because of a different form, אז ואתה הייתה נעשה משום זה לבחינת סוף. שמשל הדרגה הפחותה ביותר, שלמטה ימנה בפחידות. Tell us, רבה, שלך, something very unique. Let's understand it. It's very important. Why is the light been drawing away from the vessel because the vessel didn't want to receive. When we say vessel, when we say container, when we say a force of receiving, we are relating it into four levels of desire. So every vessel has to be built from four levels. The fourth is the strongest desire. It's called Malchut, or Bchina Dalet, fourth phase. That's the fourth. So, the idea here, once the vessel is empty, now you see that there is a difference between giving and receiving. When the vessel is not empty, it seems like, what? That they are the same. The giving and the receiving, the same. When do you start to recognize there is a difference between the giving and receiving? When it's empty. Please understand, it's very important. So, you may say that in the endless, we call it endless. There is no end. Endless means there is no end. If there is no end, you just say that the fourth phase make it look like an end. So, Rav Ashlag want to make sure it's clear. He said, do not understand it like that, that the fourth phase make an end. It's very, very important. It's important to understand the tzimtzum, the contraction, didn't happen because the differences there is between giving and receiving. שזה לא ייתכן, it's impossible. שהרי עדיין במלכות אין סוף אנחנו עוסקים. Don't forget, we are not talking about regular desire. We are talking about the original desire. The desire that we're dealing with every day, it's a joke. It's not even a joke, it's less than a joke. Our desire, doesn't matter how big it is, it's not even a scratch to the original desire that happened in the endless. So the original desire that was formed in the endless, where who formed it? The creator. Why? Because the creator said, I want to give, let's say, endless amount. I have to create endless amount of desire. So that desire, that original desire, that was tzimtzum. That's where the tzimtzum takes place. That's where the contraction takes place. That's where it say, I don't want to receive. That part say, I don't want to receive. You got to make sure you're clear on that. We're not talking about any type of desire, the original desire that has to receive. So Malchut, it's called Malchut of Ein Sof. The Malchut of Ein Sof. Because there is many Malchut. Malchut is always the end of the level. So if you say Malchut, you have to relate it to what? Malchut of who? Malchut of endless. So now we are relating to the Malchut of the Endless. That's what we're referring to. It's not Malchut of anybody. אשר אין שם שינוי צורה בינה לבינור. Why he has to mention that only Malchut of the Endless? It's the only place that there is no difference between giving and receiving is in the Endless. It's the only place. Endless light, endless vessel, no difference between them. Can the brain ever understand it? Never. We can never fully understand it because the brain operating from separation. You can never grasp giving and receiving the same. No, giving is better, receiving is worse. Very simple. No. In the endless, one. U, it's called in Hebrew, U v'shmo echad. E and his name are one. That's the code name. E refer to the fulfillment, to the light. His name refer to the receiving. Shem shnem b'achdut ha'pshuta b'sod U v'shmo echad. אלא, צמצום נעשה רק בסוד שעליו ברצונות פשוט לברוא עולמות. So you tell me, זה רב אשלג. So what's the purpose of that צמצום? What's the purpose of that contraction? What do we need it for? If you said the reason for that contraction is not because there is difference between the giving and receiving, so what's the reason? It says the reason is because עליו ברצונות פשוט לברוא עולמות. The purpose was to create all the way down from there, all the way down to this physical universe. So, how do you create it? How do you create it? You have to first empty the thing to basically create evolution. The story of evolution, that from this point on, evolution, 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 until we go back to where? To where we start from. That, by the way, if you want to know how long it takes, 6,000 years, maximum. 6,000 years. From the moment of creation of human till the end of human, 6,000 years. Where are we now? We are 570, 80. We're 5,780. Yeah, that's where we are.
Does this cycle repeat again later on?
No.
No, that's it. So we only have two...
After 6,000, we go into Olam Shekolo Shabbat. You have another 1,000 years. But that's the best 1,000 years humanity ever going to have. Because that's... Think about it from Sefirot point of view. The first 1,000, Chesed. Second 1,000, Gevura. 3,000, different thousand, it's go, and it's go by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, it's beautiful. Then, when was the temple was destroyed? Last 2,000 years ago. So what was it? Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach. Netzach is the right leg, right? Netzach, the right leg, is the leg, the temple, you know? And then, 1,000, Hod, and then, we are now in Yesod. Yeah. Example. What do you mean?
Well, in the previous lecture, you talked about how the first phase is when a baby has a desire. I mean, doesn't have a desire, but...
Yeah. The fourth phase is work with the first phase is you're receiving not by choice. The second level is... when you are wanting to share what you receive. The third, you're sharing everything. And the fourth, you're missing of all what you used to have. So only the fourth is a true desire, because true desire can only take a place when you don't have what you used to have. You cannot build a desire based on something else. You first have to have it. Let's say if I have this, okay? And now you take it away from me. Now I have a true desire for this. So I have to have it first. Everything we desire in this world, we used to have in the last lifetime or in the endless. You cannot wake up in the morning and desire a thing that you never had. You understand? You can never want thing you didn't have before. Impossible. We always want things that we already had before. And now been taken away from us, and now we're searching. Why does somebody have a drive toward music, toward money, toward fame? They were famous. So we only strive toward thing we had before.
So,
either past life or either in the endless. Yeah.
Or in the what?
In the endless. When the soul were formed without bodies. So that's before we came. So we are talking about, like, the only way you have desire is something you have and it's been taken away from you. You cannot have a true desire for thing when you're having it. Okay? So for example, if you have $100,000 and God forbid somebody take it away from you or you lose it, now your desire is truly $100,000. Or some Kabbalists say $200,000. Why? Because you have desire for what you had and your engine still working wanting 100. So because you want the 100 and the engine work for 100, it's called 200. So when people come to talk to me about money, and let's say they want to make money, I always ask them, how much money you ever lost? So they say 100. I say, good, you can make 200. Right away I tell them that. They look at me like, what are you talking about? I said, because if you add it once, it's there already. You know, it's never gone. It's just you have to develop a certain system of desire to bring it back. It's a tremendous idea. So the desire is the drive. The desire is the drive. Unfortunately, we're living in a time that you look at the generation that's coming, and there is a reason for that too. God knows what he's doing. The generation, the young generation, they have less desire. But they meant to do something else. That's why we should not judge our kids, because they came to bring peace. That's a mission. They don't want war. The generation from age 16 till 25, if you talk to them about war, they look at you like, what is that for? We don't get it. What is that for? We don't get guns and shooting. Why? They look, why? So the parents sometimes get upset because they want their children to have more desire, but they are different than us. I'm different than my parents. My parents survived Holocaust, right? So they survived the Holocaust. For them, life is about survive, survive, get a job, survive, have some food on the table. So, you know, it's a different mindset. So I look at them and say, it's a lot of pressure. I want to enjoy life. Oh, our generation, my kid's generation, another generation. What they want to make the universe a better place to be. One of them, they talk very different. Say, why there is hate? Why there is crime? They're good people. But we want them to be like us. Wrong. They have a mission. They have a mission. I believe they will be the one who bring the Messiah. They will be the one who bring peace to the world. I really believe in it. Because they're kind people. All this generation, they're kind. They really care. I'm looking like they cannot see pain. It's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful to watch, you know? But
when you... All young generations want that.
Hmm?
Most young people throughout all generations
are idealistic. No, we're idealistic. We weren't idealistic. Our parents definitely were not idealistic. They want to survive. Depends what circumstance you're going through. The circumstances change you. If somebody keeps shooting you, you start thinking at age 14, one second, I guess I shoot back. You know, it's a problem. You change. No, you change. I grew up differently than my kids. I took my kids one time to my neighborhood. I said, come, I take you to a place. And my children wrote in their Facebook, we are in the hood. Very, very dangerous places. And they remember to say, when are we getting out of here? I said, no, don't worry, just enjoy it. This is how I grew up. I want you to know where I came from. I said, we got it. Time to go home, Tel Aviv. I said, no, it's important. No, it's not. It's dangerous. So, but I grew up with that. I'm not ashamed of it. And that's where I came from. Very poor city, very, very poor. But you learn a lot about yourself. You learn about surviving. You know, so you don't know how to fight. We know how to talk. I happen to know how to talk. I didn't know how to fight well. So everybody has this, you develop skills to survive. What are you going to do? You get killed otherwise, you know? So circumstance, the thing that life find you, it's defined now. Our next generation, it's level of desire. They don't have a big desire. It's good and bad. Because a small desire... Maybe they have a big desire, but it's not the desire what we want. They want something else from life. And we should not judge them how much they text. You know, I said to parents who judge their kids how they text, I said, do you know how your parents text? They use that, I forget even what they call the chick, chick, chick.
Typewriter.
What do you call it?
Typewriter.
Yeah. I mean, similar to text. What do you want from them? Similar. Chick, chick, chick. Chick, chick. Or the other way, I don't remember. You know, it was a different time. So we move into, I don't know, fax or email. And we move to the phone. And now we're talking. Can I accept desires is the... First, this universe not belong to human. It's run by the boss. The boss is the creator. Get used to it. I'm sorry. Nobody can be the boss. Nobody. We are just applying thank you very much for putting on the canvas. There is a big canvas, you know, like painting, and the painter is God. Sometimes we get ego on the canvas, huh? My property look better. You're just a page, you're just a little thing on the canvas and you have some ego. You know, we need to start perspective, like, who think we are? Who do we think we are? Just a little human being born, hopefully live long life, and try to do the best you can, you know? This is life. We have to get along, we have to learn. But we're gun, airplane, let's protect. It starts from fear. All wars start from fear. We're afraid, we're so afraid. We're so afraid somebody take the husband, the wife, the food, the money. So everybody fighting, you know? Nobody wanna fight. Nobody wanna war. Do you think somebody wanna hate? Nobody wanna hate. But the fear, the insecurity. What is insecurity? What kind of vessel is that? What type of desire? Fear, insecurity, jealousy. Those are fake desire. All of them are fake desire. If you're busy fulfilling your jealousy, it seems like you want more, but you don't. You don't want more. You want based on what your friend wants. So that desire is not real. It's not yours. Then you're drawing into your life things that don't belong to you, and that will destroy you. But if you sit with yourself, meditate every day, what do I want? Ask yourself, what do I want? What do I want? And get to it. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it until it starts sitting with you. Sitting with you. Sitting with you. And then it starts climbing. You got to be clear about what you want. It's the number one thing you got to be clear about. What do I want? What do I want? It will come to you. The answer will come to you because you have to be real. So here it say, so what's the purpose of this tzimtzum? שפירושו שחשק לו את השוואת הצורה שחדה להתגלות על ידי בריאת העולמות. דיינו צורת הקבלה על מנת להשפיע נחת רוצה לצור. What was the purpose of the צמצום? Why do we have to even do it? Why can't we just skip צמצום? If we wouldn't have צמצום, all of us would not be here. Why do we need צמצום? It was one part in the creation that was not included. That's a secret. What was that part? It's called desire to receive for the sake of sharing. That's the secret of everything. How is desire to receive for the sake of sharing look like? I'll tell you how it look like. I'm giving you a sandwich. You don't want the sandwich. And you say, I want it to make you happy. That's called desire to receive for the sake of sharing. How do I share? By saying yes to you. I want the sandwich. I'm not in the mood to eat, but I know it will make you happy if I receive it. Good. That's how it works. I always tell, you know, when couples come to see me, I said to the wife, you know, your power is to receive, your husband's power is to give. So what does the husband want to do all the time? I'm not talking about every husband or every man. I'm talking about the energy of a man. The energy of a man is to give. That's the energy of a man. To give. Not it's good or bad, but a man biologically need to give. That's how it works. Operatingly. So when a man come to give and the woman refuse to receive from him, it's an insult. I can't do anything. I can't affect you. Giving is not just money. Giving is not just words. Giving is not just sex. Giving is a man tell the woman something and the woman kind of, how do you make a man kind of shock? Not by telling him what's wrong with him, the opposite, by not receiving from him. You want to polish a man? You want to make men miserable? I don't think I need you for that. Thank you. But thank you. But I don't need it. The man will go crazy because the man in his DNA, it's called Ze'er Anpin in Kabbalah, must give, must give, must give, must. A man who doesn't give has no structure of male energy. Men must give, he can't help it. He's dying to give every moment. Now, that's why biologically, that's how you make kids. He gives the sperm, she's receiving it, there's a child. So it's not just coincidence physically, it's like this, it's spiritually. So Ze'er Anpin has to give to Malchut. That light, I want to give to Malchut. What if Malchut say, Tzimtzum, I don't want to receive. Don't want to receive. But what we know what happened in Judaism, in the laws of Judaism, what is the Malchut cannot receive? During the period, right? If we talk about sexuality. No, I don't want to receive. Why? To practice Tzimtzum. I don't want. 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 What is the man? Savta's men are pushing. No, we got to be together and this and that. No, can't. The law, the Jewish, I don't want to upset you now, the men. The Jewish law said, for example, sexuality is come from a woman, not from a man. A woman decide when it happened, not the men. Men can never decide when it happened. He can ask, but it can never happen. Woman is the last one to make the call. Green light is the one. She stamp, yes or no. How come? How come? Why? You know, because the woman is the receiving force. The giving force cannot declare when is the receiving will be available. I don't know if you understand what I just say. He can't tell the vessel when to receive because the tzimtzum take a place. The vessel receive as the vessel want. So in the old days, those of you who studied the Talmud 2,000 years ago, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's thousands of stories there. But one of the stories that somebody saw that a man was at home and the wife was waiting already outside the house, which was not nice. She's already beautiful, makeup and all this and that. And everybody said, what's the story there? I said, that's a woman who welcomed her husband from far. So it's to show spiritually, I want to receive you. But it's not just sexually, I want to receive you. I want to receive from you. Because the sperm carry the thought of the man. So if the man thought are in other places, unfortunately, that's what they inject to the woman. And then, for that reason, man not allowed to make love to his wife or children if at that day he thought about other women. Because that child will have damage. It's very dangerous. So I always tell people, if they get married, before you make love, before this and that, talk to me, please. There is all meditation if you want to have the child, perfect child. It has to be done. You know? And we're all going to do mistakes here and there, but at least try to do the best you can. Try. You know? Because if a man, I see a lot of people do before the wedding, what do you call it? The party for the man. Wild party? A not wild. Bachelor party. Bachelor party. And I don't know what's going on there in the bachelor party. Okay? And they go, and then that night he has to be with his wife because they get married. That night, it's a time of conceiving all your sustenance, all your money, all your success, all everything is happening that night. It's a very serious night. What are you joking? Do the party later. This is a night. This is like the moment of everything going to happen to you is in that night. All your success is in that night. That reason, what is Kabbalah saying about wedding? You have to wait 7 days not to see each other. Who can do that, right? 7 days not to see each other, not try not even to talk on the phone. Most people cannot do it. Why they do 7 days? For a few reasons. So they can fight. Why seven? Now you know. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Od, Yesod. And the wedding night is when? Malchut. Malchut. The night of Malchut. So Malchut, we're controlling the desire. Controlling the desire. But people just, who's going to wait 7 days? I tell sometimes people, are you willing? 1 week, kind of business as usual, don't talk, don't do nothing. Say, well, I don't think it's possible. This is impossible, you know? What's so funny? Yeah. I guess we're talking too much about wedding here. Let's change the subject. I'm sorry. All right. No, it was a joke. I'm sorry. Wrong joke. So the idea is to, the desire to receive for the sake of sharing is the only reason for this creation. So the only reason you are here in this world, the only reason is to practice, I want to receive, to give pleasure to the one who created me. So let's say I want to drink tea. I say, Baruch Shakol Nia Bidvaro, the blessing. What is the blessing to do? I'm basically saying to God, I don't want the tea, but I know how much pleasure it's giving you by me drinking it, let me have the tea. You got to get to that level. That's the highest level. With food, with everything you do. You know how hard it is? It's very difficult. I want to study Torah, but I shouldn't enjoy it. But you know, I know, God, how much joy you have by me enjoy your product. So let me enjoy it, but be careful, not for me, for him. You understand? It's all day long. Food, you want to eat? Wait. Meditate? Eat. So it's all day long. It's not how long you wait. It's, are you communicate? Are you always communicate? Okay, so everything is to give pleasure by receiving. So this receiving that happened in the endless, the original receiving, was to receive for the sake of giving pleasure to the Creator. And we are a little bit far from there. Our desire, unfortunately, comes from the klipot. Our desire is a joke. It's come from the darkness. Okay, so our desire is not even 0.001% of the original desire that God gave this universe. Why? Because we be busy in nonsense. A little pride, a little jealousy, who's right, who's wrong. You know, when you talk about the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they tried to finish the job. They tried to build the temple. They tried to bring immortality. They tried to remove death from the world. We are busy with right, with wrong, fighting. Nonsense. So the original desire was, I want to receive all of it, God. Everything. How much billion I want? 25 billion. Why 25? Why not 22? Why not 28? Because that's how much I'm capable to receive for the sake of sharing. Whatever you're able to receive has to be, I want whatever I can receive because I know that gives you a pleasure. If you receive it, not because it's giving a pleasure, that means you receive more than you mean. And if you receive more than you mean, that thing that's extra will not make you happy.
So every time you want something, you have to pray to God and say, I don't want this, but I know it will give you pleasure to give this to me.
No, not give it to me, that I will receive it. He already gave it to you. He already gave it to you. Is the $5 million you want in your business there? They're waiting on the table for you. For you to do what? To say, I want it because I know it's giving you pleasure. But you have to get to a place when you don't want it anymore for you.
What if it's not money? It's
pride.
Whatever.
Success, achievement in life. You have to want it, not because you want it. First, you shouldn't want it. After you don't want it, then you say, I want it because I know how much pleasure it's giving you. It's a tough job, very tough job to be spiritual. That's real spirituality. Because that spirituality, nobody see you. Nobody even know you're doing it. It's all day long, okay? All day long. Sometimes I play it with food. I have this food addiction, right? Those of you who know me. So I push the cheese away. Cheese and me are not good friends. I'm addicted to cheese. So we have those expensive cheese that I like to buy there. Shop them. I'm just thinking about it. I'm happy. And I buy the dry cheese. I take a piece. I start with a little, like nothing tiny. And I put it there as a drawer in the refrigerator. I put it there. But after 5 minutes, I'm thinking about it. Like maybe God want to give it. You know? But I'm not thinking, do I want it? Do I want it more than what God want to give? I think so. That's the problem. So I'm going back to the cheese and I'm buying another piece. All of a sudden, there is no cheese. Do you understand? I don't know if it ever happened to you. And you look and you say, how did that happen? And then I'm sitting with myself and thinking, God want to give it to me. But did I want it because God want to give it to me? Or I want it because I want it? Then I have to be honest, I want it because I want it. It's that game that you have to play, but you have to be honest. So none of us can, if you eat food you don't like, you can practice. I don't get celery, for example. I get celery in the juice with carrot. I don't get celery. I try to be American, do peanut butter and celery. It's nice, but it's still celery. I don't get it. It's a celery. I don't understand it. Vegetables, it's good when you cook it with soup, but celery, see, American eats celery. I'm trying. So if you put celery in front of me, if I receive the celery, that's totally for the sake of sharing. Totally. So from time to time, I'm practicing on celery and I'm eating it. I don't get it. I really don't get how people enjoy it. And I'm trying to say, you know, but you understand, every person has their thing that you don't enjoy it. That's your area. You can practice. You want to practice? Celery is for me. For me, it's celery. But cheese is not, unfortunately. You know, cheese, once I start cheese, there's no end. It just continue. It's forever. Forever. Never end. I can live with it, by the way. I can live with cheese and wine, and I'm the happiest person ever. But I remember I went to this doctor in New York, and I sit with her. Debbie's practicing homeopathy. Homeopathy is when you put remedy in your mouth and all this. So she asked me about 1,000 questions, literally. I'm sitting with her for 5 hours, question. And my wife told me, you have to go. So I'm going. And I'm sorry that I go after the second hour, because she's very strong and psychic. And she asked me very embarrassing question, like details. I said, listen, I'm not comfortable with this, that. So at the end of the talk, she told me one thing. I said, just don't eat cheese. I said, excuse me? Huh? Said, just what? Just not anything. You go ahead, have fun. It's not cheese. Said, okay, tell me something else. Give me something else. Sugar. I said, no, don't worry. So no, I have issue. So just stop milk. No more milk. And I give you anything you want. I remember my life changed in a level. I couldn't keep up with that. In a level that she gave me a remedy. I put it under my tongue. And some emotional stuff came out. I was looking at cartoon and I started crying like a baby. Cartoon passing by, like, I don't know, some Mickey Mouse was sad, he couldn't find something. And I'm like crying. The stuff that came out, she nailed it down. Because the cheese was just blocking my gallbladder, the liver, and emotion from the child that didn't come out. She explained the whole thing. And stuff started coming out. But I stopped it for a long time. 6 months. That's how much I manage. My life changed health-wise? Yes. Skiing and everything. Unbelievable. But it's tough. So the reason I'm sharing this with you, nachat ruach liyotzo, you have to be able to receive for the sake of giving pleasure to who? To the one who gives. The same thing in a wedding. Who's giving the ring? The husband. I know in tradition, both sides give the ring, but it's not existed in the Torah. The Torah is only the husband give the ring. Is it? I know everybody give the ring and she give the ring. There's no such a thing. He give the ring. That's it. That's what that. But with the modern society, in the last 100 years, people invent, oh, you have to be more Americanized or European. Give a ring to. So the wife is happy because he have a ring. He cannot cheat on her. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that, but it doesn't work. So why is giving the ring? Because by him giving and she receiving, so her receiving to give him a pleasure with receiving it. I said, the whole thing is details in a way that it has to be perfect of giving and receiving energy. שיש בזה מעלה יתרה מאוד, נעלה. כי מצד אחד יהיה השפעה גבורה, כי כל הרצון הוא רק להשפיע נחת ולא לזוצו. What's so special about this type of desire? It's endless desire. How is it endless desire? I don't want nothing if it doesn't give pleasure to the one who give me. The one who give me want to give me everything. So now, how much I want? Everything. Why? Because that's the only way I please the giver. So how many billion you want? Endless billion. Why? Because that's what the endless want to give me. How much pride you want? Endless pride. Why? Because that's how much the endless want to give me. They say when the Messiah will come, the Messiah will be wealthy, famous, rich, pride, ego, everything. How can that be? That's the Messiah. Because the Messiah is considered that perfect vessel. Vessel that I want to receive it all, but I don't want it for me. I know how much the Creator want to give it to me. So it's also opening your mind to understand how much the Creator want to give you. Whatever you ask is not even 0.001% compared to what the Creator want to give you. Everything you're going to ask is just too small. You just don't do it right. You ask from desperation. You not ask because it exists. Like I write in my book in the first chapter, you have to learn about desire. You're not allowed to think about yourself at all. So in the endless, that's how, only in the endless, the desire was having perfect affinity with the giver. Perfect affinity with the giver. בנצד הבוק בו, התברך בתכלית הדבקות. צד הבית אפשר לו להעמיק ולהגדיל כלי הקבלה שלו עד הסוף, ואין תכלית את האין צורת הקבלה עושה שם שינוי צורה. So when we talk about the fourth phase, which is the original desire and the endless, that fourth phase was the only place where it was absolutely the strongest desire, but it wasn't because I want. I have to create the desire so the endless can give. כי היא באה מתוך הרצון להשפיע. So even the receiving, even the receiving coming from the need to influence. I'm going to stop here because there is another subject that we start until next time, okay? Thank you.